Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Behind the Numbers with Tim Wildman and Ed Battagliano.
Oh, that was cold.
Wow.
Behind the Numbers.
Steve Jordahl is with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes. Yeah, don't ask me for any of that math stuff either. Reporters doing
okay.
Math is always dangerous.
I think the best thing for us to do right here, since Ed got us in hot water.
I got myself in hot water. Okay. You guys are out.
I just want to
I ran the numbers through a percentage calculator, by the way, and it did come up 3%.
Let me reset this for just a minute.
Thank you.
What happened last hour was we started talking about the numbers, the death rate related to COVID-19 in the USA. And in real time, Ed was coming up with numbers that Tim was asking him for.
Right.
On the fly.
So it was your fault.
You recall, well, it was my fault that I didn't give you time to properly research before
I
asked you the question.
If you ask a six-year-old to recite the Declaration of Independence, you can't blame the kid when they mess it up.
Yeah, although some of our listeners, some six-year-olds can.
Yes.
Have you ever heard these folks?
Point taken.
Yeah. But seriously, Steve, do you have anything to add to this?
Only that I checked the numbers that Ed was doing, and it is 3% of confirmed cases result in fatalities. And as Fred was saying, if you take that, it's much, much lower if you take it as a percentage of all the people in the country. But that's probably Ed's number is more widely common, I think, 3% of known cases end up fatalities. A vast majority of those being elderly, like 80% is those over 60 with or health mitigating
over
health
60,
concerns.
Over 60 is elderly now?
Well,
I'm 57. And
I'm
got
60,
3 years,
so
well, then I'm elderly. I turned 62 this month.
There, I told y'all. So hold on just a minute before we move any further. We're going to get hit on, folks. Please understand when you're. We are not.
Smart.
We're like you. We're having to do research on where to get accurate numbers
right.
from. So please understand that. And if you got some place to get accurate numbers that you trust, post them on our Facebook page.
Right.
We'll absolutely take a look at that. Now, Steve.
Sir.
Just to be clear, Steve.
Yes.
I want to make sure you meant what you said. What sources are you citing, Steve?
I looked at the numbers.
From where?
Well, this was from Google, or I guess it would be.
Oh, good, Steve.
Well,
it's your
the
credibility
CDC.
Credibility just
the
shot
centers,
through the roof.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention
you
list
mean you went
on
through Google to get to the
to,
CDC.
Right. Yes.
You shouldn't have even mentioned Google,
well,
Steve.
Well, because it
you
was
lost
on,
everybody.
I did.
Go ahead.
They said, and let me see if I can bring up the numbers because, hold on.
Here we go again. Here we go again.
I think we would have learned.
On the fly. I shouldn't have even asked. I should have left it alone. Go ahead, Steve.
This is according to the Centers for Disease Control.
Uh-huh.
And this is for the U.S. See, not Mississippi states. Show all. It says.
Yeah, read on this. Scroll on down, Steve. Come up. Get us something good.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
It says there have been 162,000 deaths in the United States, 5.05 million cases.
Confirmed.
Confirmed cases.
So if you take, and what I did was I just, the internet is great. You just type in percentage calculator in Google, and it'll give you a computer calculator online, and you ask, 162,000 is what percent of 5.05 million? Don't use commas. And it came up 3%.
See, that's what I did. I just used a calculator.
Yeah, but you got crucified.
I got, and then they backed over me twice.
All right, well, let's just consider what we've discussed here for what it's worth.
That's right.
Do your own homework, folks, okay? Do your own research. And I know we're should be a little bit more responsible here because we are a live radio program, but But so you're telling me of the numbers you have by the CDC, I think that's fair to say, you're telling me 3% of people who get COVID in the USA, according to the CDC numbers, die.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
But okay. It is skewed elderly, very much.
Yeah. I was going to tell you, I think I mentioned this before. You're talking about who is elderly and who isn't. Nobody wants to be called that.
Right.
Have you noticed this?
I've lived it, Tim.
Very few people want to say. But anyway, one time there was this lady. She called me. She wanted to go to Israel. And with our tour in March, she wanted to go to Israel. And we go every March. And so she calls me. She's from the Houston, Texas area. She asked me, you know, a series of questions. I was glad to answer them about the tour and everything. And finally she said, well, Tim, I got one last question for you. And I said, well, what's that? And she said, well, my husband, Bill, you know, he's 79 and I'm 78. She said, but I got to ask you this, I mean, no disrespect, but are we just going with a bunch of old people? Huh?
She didn't want to go with a bunch of old people.
No, she didn't. If you would have called her elderly, she'd have been offended.
Right.
And she was 78. When I was saying that, that tells me, you, in your mind, you're 32.
Right, that's right.
Every day, if your mind is well, even if you're into your, you, nobody says, yeah, I'm elderly, so.
And the older you get, the higher that other number goes. So when I was in my 40s, I still was 18 in my mind. Now I'm 62. I'm 35
right,
in my mind.
Right.
That,
you maybe
that
bumped up
goes
a few
up.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But very few 80 year olds go, you know, I feel 80 today.
Yeah,
in my mind.
Right. I'm an 80 year old.
I'm an 80 year old. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, go.
You know how Republicans and Democrats are fighting on Capitol Hill over the next round of COVID relief? How much money we're going to put in the bill to help Americans out amid the COVID crisis. And Republicans are starting to put their foot a little bit on the brake, saying, you know, we don't have an unlimited amount of funds. They're saying Democrats just want to bail out cities and states that have been Democrat-run and profligate in their spending for years and years. Well, today, Ed Markey put out this is the Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey put out a proposal on Twitter. He says, give every person in our country $2,000 a month for the duration of the pandemic, $2,000 a month for 3 months after that, and $2,000 a month retroactive to March. To which Texas Senator Ted Cruz wrote, why be so cheap? Give everybody $1 million a day, every day, forever, and 3 soy lattes and a foot massage. We have a magic money tree. We should use it.
$2,000 a month,
yeah.
Markey is suggesting.
That's what he says.
Well, you know, here's one of the big problems they're having to solve is paying people more to stay home than to go back to work.
Right.
I know I've heard a lot of complaints from employers, especially at restaurants, who say I can't get people to come back to work because they're making more, you know, staying at home than they are if they're coming back,
right,
to work. So, I think that had to be that was the Republicans were trying to address that. Weren't they able to bring it down to like 400?
Well, that's Trump's offer.
Well, actually, that's what President Trump just put into
an executive order.
Okay, so that if it passes constitutional muster,
right?
Because you know it's going
to
go to court.
Sure,
what the president did.
But I saw today that the Trump's team was putting out there because the Supreme Court has recently upheld Obama's executive order on DACA and didn't allow President Trump to change it. They say now the president has a whole lot of authority with his executive orders because the Supreme Court just recently said the constitutionality of a different president's executive order.
I don't like it. I don't particularly like executive orders at all.
Right.
Because I think it usurps the constitutional process that our founders gave us especially in terms of appropriating the treasury, the federal money, our taxpayer dollars. However, that being said, the Democrats were fine to go along with President Obama's daily executive orders.
Right.
You remember when President Obama was elected, I think the second time, he said, "I've got a pen and a phone.
Yeah.
So I'll take care of business. I don't care what." Basically, he was saying, "I'll just go around Congress."
Yeah, because he was Republican.
To do what I want. So I would say, if Democrats don't like President Trump using executive orders, then they started it. Okay?
I think history shows that executive orders were meant by the founders or whoever put them in place as a temporary remedy in the case that something needed to be done in an emergency and Congress is, for example, out of session. There is an argument to be made that Congress is so deadlocked and gridlocked that it has basically been out of session for years, and there are things that are an emergency, like the economic situation during the pandemic. So you could make an argument that a absent Congress being able to get its act together and pass anything—
But the Congress being unable to get its act together is a part of having its act together, if that makes sense. Just because the Congress doesn't pass legislation doesn't mean it's dysfunctional. It means that it's split.
True.
It means
it
means that there are people who disagree, and that's because the country's split 50-50. So go ahead.
But I would say this. I think our form of government ceased being constitutional a long time ago because of this. That in the 20th century, Congress created these huge agencies and funds them, the Department of Education, the Environmental Protection Agency.
The federal government grew like crazy.
They funded them and then put them under the control of the executive branch. So the Constitution doesn't really, they're hybrids.
Good point.
They're hybrids, so you almost have a third branch of government,
yes,
which is the bureaucracy, and the president runs it. He's part of the executive branch. Congress funds it, but so the president goes, well, I'm just going to issue an executive order under the executive branch of which I'm in charge, and I'm going to tell, this is what President Obama did, I'm telling the Department of Education that they are going to threaten public schools with no federal funds if they don't allow transgender kids to use the bathroom of their choice.
Obama did that.
Executive order. So you go, where is that in the Constitution? Well, it's not in the Constitution. You know, Congress should decide how these funds are allocated if they're going to give money to public schools. But what I'm saying is we stopped being constitutional a long time ago in terms of the actual document.
Well, and you remember the infamous executive order had to do with deferred
action for action. Childhood arrivals,
yeah.
DACA.
DACA, and what that did was, whether you agree with DACA or not, that was a matter that should have been done by the legislature.
Which President Obama admitted, remember, for a long time.
Yes.
He said, I can't do this.
Right. He admitted he couldn't do this, but then he went ahead and did it anyway.
Yes, that's right.
And he wasn't stopped by the courts. So I think what President Trump is doing is saying, listen, Obama used these executive orders to further his agenda. I'm going to do the same thing until I'm stopped by the courts.
Yeah.
And I guess until the courts say I can't do it. But the courts, I think the liberal judges, they let President Obama's executive orders go because they agreed with his agenda.
Yes.
And now you have a president which the liberal courts can't stand, and he's only doing what they allowed to happen under President Obama, for example. And you're talking about DACA, that there is no way that the president unilaterally should have the power to change immigration law.
You make a really good point, Tim, and I want to stress this again, that just because Congress isn't passing laws doesn't mean it's dysfunctional. It means it's actually functioning the way the founders intended, and that is the House can block the Senate can block the House, but then you know what's supposed to happen? Then the states run their own business. If Congress can't pass something, the states run it, but because we've all become so dependent on Washington, D.C., the states sit there and they go, I don't know. I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, the federal government, i.e. Washington, D.C., has garnered more and more power and control over the last few decades, 40, 50, 60 years, I guess you could say, more and more, which that was not the intent of our founding fathers. Our intent of the founders was to decentralize power.
Right.
And have states basically run their own business, states and cities, municipalities,
right,
and counties and things like that, and have less. But now, with all these federal agencies that the Congress has created, like you said, Ed, you got all kind of good. Now, I can't even name all these three-letter
right
agencies that basically are a third branch of government. You're right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve, next story.
There are some protesters in Seattle who say it's just not fair. The Seattle police have all this riot gear that the city's paying for, and we have to pay for our own. So they're suing, five of them are suing the city of Seattle and the Seattle Police Department, saying, hey, if we have to pay for ours, if we can't have them, then you shouldn't have them. So they are suing the city of Seattle, these five protesters, saying it's an illegal tax. In fact, in the lawsuit, they said Jane Doe, a Washington resident, they actually used her name, who attended a protest on July 15th after experiencing the wrath of Seattle Police Department against protesters. Plaintiff Kavanaugh decided to use to adapt her gear until she could. She went 2 days without protesting. So they're suing, saying that the Seattle, it's not fair. They're outnumbering us during our riots, and they're using gear during our riots that we can't defend ourselves against. So, therefore, we want them to stop and make it a fair fight.
Yeah, this is lunacy. And the thing is, who knows whether a person like this could win a case nowadays, especially in a place as liberal as that left coast. So they are complaining that because the police have riot gear, they are outmatched when the riots happen. So either the police have to strip theirs off and stop using it, or the state has to pay for ours.
Now, are they appealing to the judge whose courtroom they want to burn down?
Maybe.
They may go against them right there.
It is a federal lawsuit, so yes, they are actually.
Well, in Portland, it's the federal court building.
This is settled, but this is filed in the District Court of Washington.
That sounds like a Saturday United Night Lives kid.
It does.
It does.
It does. That's crazy.
Representing the riders.
Yes.
Right. Judge Judy or something, you know, coming into the...
Rioters have rights.
The Washington Post actually, this is how far we've gotten from reason here in the media. The Washington Post featured a spread on protesters' fashions, how the rioters look, the different masks that they use and the gear that they use, and they put it up as a fashion spread of all things.
Every time you bring a story, I'm sitting here going, that's crazy.
There's a lot of craziness
going on here. I don't know what to say. So they're now fashionistas?
Apparently.
These rioters? What is it? All the rage during the riots of 2020
is the new
line of masks from Saks Fifth Avenue, which the rioters burned down. This is bizarre world. Yes. This is like a Saturday Night Live skit or an episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah, crazy.
Exactly.
Go.
Exactly.
I bet you can top it.
Let's talk about the media since we're there. Let's talk about that and President Trump. I know you guys heard last hour from President Trump saying that the people that were gathered at Mar-a-Lago during his press conference were peaceful protesters. Well, the media continues to still argue with the president during his press conferences. At a press conference recently, one reporter, CBS's Paula Reed, didn't actually launch a question at the president as much as she accused him of something. He sat and listened to it and answered it for a couple minutes, then wanted to go on to the next reporter. She wouldn't let him. So listen to what he did. This is cut five.
Mr. President, though, this is expected to be tied up in the court. So this relief is either going to be delayed or blocked.
Well, I don't think so. I think this is going to go very rapidly through the courts. This will go very... If we get sued, maybe we won't get sued. If we get sued, it's somebody that doesn't want people to get money. Okay, and that's not going to be a very popular thing.
Go around Congress. Are you trying to set a new precedent that the president can go around Congress and decide how much?
You ever hear the word obstruction? They've obstructed. Congress has obstructed. The Democrats have obstructed people from getting desperately needed money. Go ahead, please, right here.
President, why do you keep saying that you passed Veterans Choice?
Please.
You said that you passed Veterans Choice. man's choice. It was passed in 2014.
Okay, excuse me. Go ahead, please.
But it was a false statement, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much.
He tries calling on a separate reporter, a different reporter, said, no, you're done. Thank you. No, you. She wouldn't shut up. So he just walks away. And all the other reporters who had maybe legitimate questions weren't able to ask them.
That kind of thing. You remember the president tried, I don't know, how, this is talking about judges again. Remember when he said, I don't want Jim Acosta from CNN to be in our press conferences anymore here at the White House. You remember he did that a couple of years ago? Because he didn't like Acosta, because Acosta was rude and insulting. And he said, look, CNN can put someone else in. So CNN went to court and a judge told the president he couldn't ban Jim Acosta from the press conference at the White House. So the president said, fine. What he said, no more press conferences.
Exactly.
And this is what the president's being forced to do. These reporters who are rude, if the president of the United States says, you're done, I don't want you talking anymore, I'm going to this reporter, and if that other reporter continues to talk, they ought to be banned.
They didn't do that to Obama.
No, they didn't do that.
They don't do that to Joe Biden.
Right.
You could challenge almost anything a president says with an alternative viewpoint on a matter and call him a liar.
Right.
Or call it fabricated or call it not true. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Almost on every topic you could do that. And they do that with President Trump all the time. All the time.
The Washington Press Corps is not going to interrupt President Obama's press conference because they're disagreeing over what his favorite color is, which is the questions that he got when he was up there.
Well, also, if you remember, President Obama was criticized by some because he rarely held press conferences.
Right.
And he certainly didn't do rope line interviews like President Trump does on the way out to Marine One, where he doesn't, if he's going somewhere, this president is the most accessible president, even though the media hates his guts, he still talks to him and does interviews with him. He did an hour with Chris Wallace, who you can tell Chris Wallace is a liberal, but President Trump did a one-on-one near the Rose Garden when it was like 100 degrees. You got these two guys out there in their 70s sweating, President Trump. And then President Trump says, ask Biden to do this. I bet he won't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Chris Wallace called up the Biden campaign and says, can you do a one-on-one interview for our show? And they said, he's not available.
Right. And he's not available because he's really, really busy right now.
Yes. So President Trump said, I guess Biden won't do this. If he had to do this, he would be crying, laying on the floor crying for his mommy.
Yeah. Did he say that?
Yes. He said, Biden will be laying on the floor crying for his mommy if he had to do an hour grilling one-on-one with you, Chris Wallace. Of course, the Biden campaign said he's not available. That means, are you kidding me? Put Joe Biden with Chris Wallace for an hour? That would be suicide.
Yeah, it'd be suicide.
Yeah, we're not doing that. So he's not available from now until the election's over. And, you know. And
I think Joe Biden should come up with a line that Reagan used. I refuse to use my opponent's youth and inexperience and mental clarity to his disadvantage.
Oh, those are the days.
Yeah. All right, Chris. Chris. All right, Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Ed, appreciate
it. You don't want to thank me because of what I did with the numbers. I cooked the books. But Steve kind of backed me up a little bit.
I think you were right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Looks like the Big Ten is not going to have football.
Oh, they decided not to? Well, then all of college football is going to follow suit. You can always turn to hockey.
Or NASCAR.
It's never that bad, Steve.
I'm at a loss right now. But we'll be back tomorrow, everybody.